Listen up, assholes. It's a dirty, dirty world out there. And I'm not talking about assholes. I'm talking about germs. Yeah, COVID, bacteria, jizz. And jizz is the new germs. Look, let's face it. We don't want to touch anything these days. It's gross. So be sure to use Jizz Off hand sanitizer. Because one spray wipes the germs away. Jizz Off hand sanitizer is made up of 75% alcohol. But unlike the others, Jizz Off doesn't dry out your hands. 300 sprays per bottle, made in the USA, and created by two women. That's right, ladies, keeping it classy and clean. So do yourself and your family a favor and protect them with sanitizer, masks, and wipes at jizzoffproducts.com. And be sure to use the code AHOLEPODCAST. Jizz is the new germs, so go to jizzoffproducts.com. That's J-I-Z-Z-O-F-F products.com and use that code AHOLEPODCAST. Don't get caught with jizz on your hands. It's embarrassing. Guys, we've all been in this situation. Last minute booty call, romantic evening with the wife, you got a manscape. You rush to grab that crappy razor. Ouch! Your weekend is ruined. That's why you need Smooth My Balls. Smooth My Balls is the next level grooming for the next level man. Introducing the Turf Chopper 2.0. The Turf Chopper has a premium alloy blade that glides seamlessly over those bad boys. And by boys, I mean balls. Never nip your sack again. It's also water resistant and easy USB charging. So you can plug it into your computer and multitask while tending to those testes. Order now at smoothmyballs.com and use the special code AHOLEPODCAST at checkout. Guys, don't keep the ladies waiting. Smoothmyballs.com and use that code AHOLEPODCAST. Hey, assholes, it's the big asshole, Doug Bass. I just want to take this time to thank everyone for listening to I'm an Asshole and subscribing to our podcast. If you love the show, do me a favor, tell two friends, and maybe they'll tell two friends. We're just trying to get the subscription numbers up and the downloads up, so I really appreciate everyone checking out the show. And don't forget to follow us on social media at A-Hole Podcast. And if you want to watch the videos of the show, we got full videos on the YouTube channel at A-Hole Podcast or at Doug Bass Comedy. Do me a favor, subscribe to that too. Oh, guys, we got more assholes coming. Here's another episode. Thanks.
What an asshole! Podcasting from Basshole Studios in Hollywood, California.
California.
You're listening to I'm an Asshole with Doug Bass. We've all been one, so let's talk about it. Now, here's your host, Doug Bass.
He's an asshole, sir.
He's an asshole.
Hey, assholes. Welcome to I'm an Asshole. My name's Doug Bass. Thanks for tuning in to the podcast today. Wow, I'm excited. Today's guest is actor, comedian Scott Krinsky. You know Scott from the hit TV show on NBC, Chuck. He's best known for playing the role of Jeff Barnes on that show. We all know Scott Krinsky. He's been acting forever. He does stand-up comedy. Everything. He does everything. So I'm excited to have him on. Make sure you follow our show on Clubhouse. We are on Clubhouse right now in the Comedy Podcast Club. So if you aren't a member of the Comedy Podcast Club, make sure you hit the little green button and become a member so you can check out all this great comedy podcasting stuff. Here's Scott. Scott, what's up, man?
Hey.
How are you? You see yourself on the monitor and everything?
Yeah.
Scott is taking it. We are doing a live video feed of this as well on YouTube and Facebook Live. So if you want to check out the video, you can always go over there as well. How you been, man?
I'm good.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Can you just hold a little closer to the mic? There you go.
Yeah, can you? How's that?
That's good. That's good.
Yeah.
Now you sound like a deep.
No, I sound like
now you sound like you're in the studio.
I got my DJ voice.
You got your DJ voice on. Yeah,
yeah.
I like that. Yeah.
Yeah.
So how you been, man? What's going on? I haven't seen you in a while.
You know, just weathering the pandemic.
Yeah. I mean, a lot of people don't know. So Scott and I were next door neighbors for like eight years or something like that.
I can't believe it's that long.
It's been a long time. Yeah, yeah.
We won't say where.
No, we're not going to give out. We're not going to give out Scott's address. That way people, fans come and hound him and stuff. So, I mean, have you been, so we all know you from NBC's show, Chuck. And how many seasons did that run?
That ran five seasons.
Five seasons. Yeah. That's a good run.
Yeah, it was a good run.
Yeah.
Barely. I mean,
great show.
Thanks.
Great show. Everyone always, I always say, like, oh, yeah, Scott Krinsky. They're like, oh, Chuck, I love Chuck. Love Chuck, you know?
And that, wasn't there talk of that like coming back at some point? Like there was all those like rumors and stuff.
Like, you know, since we've finished our five seasons.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah. But I think you know, there's rumors like that with every show now.
Yeah, I know.
And I probably will be the last to know.
Yeah, I know. The actors are always the last to know. I feel like
it's or
like
certain actors.
They call you up and it's
certain
like
certain actors are the last to know.
Right. You want to be a part of this? Oh, sure.
Yeah, yes. But I think these days anything's possible.
Right.
You know, I can say that I know nothing about anything.
Right. You know? Well, that's the thing. I mean, especially with like, you know, I'm trying to see if this Instagram Live is working. I don't think it's working. Anyway, I'm trying to think like, because I know all these shows do come back, and there's like a life, you know, after cancellation or you know whatever end of series now, and like you never know. It's like you know maybe something will come back in a few years. It's like now that there's Netflix and Amazon streaming and all these things, people want to see, you know, these shows come back because they love the characters. A fan wants to know why Zach Levy, am I pronouncing
Zachary,
it?
Yeah.
Zachary, yeah.
He was Chuck.
Yeah, he's Chuck, yeah.
Chuck.
Why he didn't get you in the Shazam movies, or the Shazam movie.
Because we worked together for five years on Chuck.
Yeah, you should automatically be in every project that he does
because
now, right?
You work with someone.
I know, yeah.
You're gonna,
I know, yeah.
It's almost more reason that you'll never work with them on anything else.
Right.
Because you work with them for five
it's
years.
It's like we,
on the TV show.
Yeah, we did that. Yeah. All right. Yeah, exactly. So
it's funny because it's, I grew up watching Shazam, the TV.
Yeah.
Did you
I mean, I wasn't so familiar with it, but when it finally came out, when it came out, like I was like, oh, what? I'm not a big like comic book person, but I know like the main, you know, Batman, Superman, I know the big ones, Spider-Man. But then when, you know, Marvel Universe started coming out, I was like, oh, all these characters I'm not aware of, or Shazam, DC.
And there
Universe,
was ISIS.
ISIS, yeah.
Which, for obvious reasons, they're probably not going to do an ISIS.
No. Movie. Yeah, I mean, unless they change the name or whatever. Yeah, yeah. But Shazam was good. I liked Shazam. I thought that was well done. That was one of the better ones in the DC Universe that was done properly, I would say, I guess. Yeah. Now, you were also in the movie Tangerine.
Yeah.
Which was kind of like a big deal when it came out. It was Sundance, right?
Yeah, it went to big deal at Sundance.
Yeah. That was a great movie. Yeah.
Yeah, thank you. I mean, again, you know, who knew?
Yeah. So that was like something where just another audition as an actor came in. Did you work with the director before? Did
no,
you know
I,
you?
I hadn't worked with the director. I was a big fan of the director, Sean Baker. Mm-hmm. And because I always, you know, I'm a big fan of indie films, and I knew of his films. And particularly, I had recently watched Starlet, which was one of his films.
Right.
And it's so funny because I watched that film, and then it was like a month later that I got a call from this producer friend that I had met at a festival and who we had hit it off, and he was like, I want to work with you someday.
Yeah.
Put you in something I'm working on. And he calls me, you know, around Christmas, New Year's, in between Christmas and New Year's, and he's like, I got this new film I'm producing. He'd already worked with the director, Sean Baker, and he said, there's a great part for you. I pitched you to the director and sent him your stuff, and he wants to talk to you.
Yeah.
And I talked to him, and he sent me, you know, what script there was, because a lot of, some of it was sort of improvised
kind
of based off of an outline, and I think that happened like on a Tuesday.
Yeah.
And I was shooting the film on Sunday.
That's awesome.
So
that's and it wasn't that was a film that was shot on iPhone, is that correct?
Yeah.
Yeah.
First
film shot on an iPhone.
You know,
the whole thing was shot on iPhone.
Feature film,
right.
you know, that pop.
Yeah,
I guess legit feature film,
and that was always interesting to me because I think a lot of people went to go see that when they heard it was like shot entirely on an iPhone. A lot of people went to go see it for that reason. Also, I thought, and I was like, that's an interesting, like, you know, it's a great film, and it's like then people were like filmmakers were like, oh wow, like yeah, I got to go see this thing.
And it was iPhone 5 at the time,
right?
So
and
think about what
how long ago was that? Yeah, like how many iPhones
you're doing
ago.
Now with your phone? You right. know, I just got the iPhone 12.
Yeah.
And It's like they did that with the Five,
right?
And but it's funny because I knew he was an amazing director. Yeah. I was a big fan, but I only worked a day. I think the whole shoot was.
And like, you like shot it right down the street from.
Yeah,
it, right,
right around Hollywood.
Yeah, yeah.
And you know, and I knew he was an incredible director, but I. You just never know.
You never know, yeah. Like, you go in, you know, it's like we're both actors. We go in for all these, like, auditions, and you never know what certain projects might become. You know, you do them.
Yeah.
Like, you know.
So it was a – and then
– did you go to Sundance with the film?
Went to Sundance.
Yeah. Was that your first time there?
No, I'd been there – well, I'd been there before for Slam Dance.
Okay.
And, I think – maybe that was my second time at Sundance.
Yeah.
I can't remember. I'd been there.
That's still on my bucket list to go check out Sundance. Like, that's something I want to go check out at some point. And just as a fan of films, you know. Just
and
to go
it's fun because we're, you know, you're watching the film. I saw it for the first time at Sundance with the audience.
That okay.
Was seen it for the
so that was
part.
Like your premiere screening of seeing it.
For
yeah,
for me, you
yeah,
know,
yeah.
too. And I had no idea what to expect.
Right.
And it was really what was really interesting. Is it wasn't until after the film screened that we did, there was a Q&A and they told everyone that it was shot on an iPhone.
Yeah, afterwards.
People were like, whoa.
They're like, what? Everyone ran out with their iPhone to go make their own movie and submit it, it was pretty impressive. I mean, the movie is so, you know, interesting, and it's technically, like, iPhone all the way. It's like it's pretty amazing feat that they accomplished with that film. And now, a lot of people may not know this. I mean, you also are a stand-up comedian as well as an accomplished actor. And how long have you been doing stand-up as opposed to acting? Did you start with acting first and then go to stand-up?
So I mean, my reason for getting in the business was always I wanted to be an actor.
Right.
I was always, you know, I had all these character actors that I just loved growing up that I was big fans of, and they were kind of my inspirations, you know, since I was a teenager.
Yeah.
So I came, you know, I came out to LA, and I always did have this, like, I always wanted to do stand-up, too. You know, it was always in the back of my head, you know, God, I want to try that. I guess everything that just scares the fuck out of me, you know?
Right. Well, I mean, obviously stand-up comedy is very scary in its own way, I would say. I mean, I'm always scared going up doing it.
Yeah, now I didn't say I'm scared. Now I like to call it, like, I don't like to say to use nerves either, nervous. I'm anxious, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
Even if you do a play or something, you know, it's
right.
Like if you're not anxious or nervous or something, you know, you.
A play is always like, I haven't done a play since college. Or no, I did one play out here in LA, like maybe my first or second year living here. But it's been like, it's probably been like 18 years since I've done a play.
Yeah.
And so I'm like, that's something I might want to try at some point again. Because it's like, oh my God. It's like, how do I even do this again? I forget.
But I did. So I was out here doing, you know, I was doing a lot of plays with this little, you know, fun theater company, group of friends in the 90s. And then we kind of disbanded, and I was also doing The Groundlings, which I know you did that program.
Yeah.
And I went through a good portion of The Groundlings program, learned a lot there. And then my time ended there with that program. And my theater company was kind of disbanding, that we had done a lot of stuff together in the 90s. And so it was kind of the perfect time around 2000 that I think this is the time to start doing stand-up, because I really, it was nice to do something solo where you didn't have to meet anyone.
Rehearse. You don't have to rely on anyone.
Just on your own.
It's just you, which is also the scary thing, because if you start bombing, it's all on you, obviously.
Yeah.
But it is the nice thing about stand-up where it's like, yeah, I'm going to go do a mic. I'm going to go do a show. I'm going to do 5-10 minutes. And, like, yeah, I don't have to get, like, a group together of sketch actors or improv or, you know, everyone's trying to make a film or whatever. You know, it's just go out and do it, which is the nice part about stand-up, I would say. I'm going to see if anyone on Clubhouse wants to jump up to the stage and maybe talk to Scott Krinsky. I'm going to send people invites. We've got a couple people in here. I don't know if they're going to be shy or if they're going to speak. I don't know. We'll see. Well, we invited them up. I don't know if they're going to jump up or not. But if anyone has a question for Scott, feel free to raise your hand or jump up on stage here. That's all. That's all I'm saying. I'm putting it out there. I'm putting it out there.
In Clubhouse.
Yeah, yeah. And we also have a phone number if anyone's watching on YouTube or Facebook. They can call in and speak to Scott on Google Voice. So there you go, folks. That's what it is. So this is the Asshole Show, Scott. I'm an Asshole, it's called, obviously. It's right behind your head. You can see it there on the monitor. So this is where people come in and they talk about a time in their life that they may have been an a-hole. It can be an isolated incident. It can be a chunk of time in your life. Maybe you're one now and you're dealing with it. Maybe someone thinks you're one and you're not. All those kind of things. So is there a specific story that you'd like to share with the audience today?
All of the above.
All of the above. Well, I mean, yeah, it's.
I always like when someone thinks you're an asshole, you know, and they've never met you.
Right. Yeah.
You hear from like, you know, in the comedy world too, you know.
Well, yeah. I mean, comedians are like notorious assholes. A lot of them.
Your friends like that guy, man. He was ragging on you, and I'm like, what? Yeah. I never even met him.
Yeah.
I like his comedy. What is he?
Yeah, but someone.
What's his problem with me? What did I do?
They always have something to say. You know, it's like they always got to throw their two cents in a comedian, I would say. You know, it's like because they're trying to either do a joke or get one up on someone and whatnot. So, yeah, it's. I mean, I keep my arm's length at certain comedians. I'm always like, all right, you know, I got to deal with this first.
Yeah, with your. Insecurities.
Especially, yeah. Especially when you start running shows, like live shows and stuff. It's like, oh, my God.
But, yeah, I mean, I've done some asshole.
It sounds like you have a lot on your mind.
No, speaking of assholes.
You can't even pick one out.
No, speaking of assholes. Okay, this is kind of a funny story.
All right.
I'm trying to think, like, of a funny asshole story.
Right.
And then I was, like, literally thinking of the word asshole, and I was thinking, you know what? There have been times where I've maybe been in the CVS or the grocery store.
Right.
Where I've just, like, let one rip in an aisle.
Just let one rip.
And then,
we have a sound effect for that. I have to use it because I programmed it. All right,
you got a good fart.
Yeah, I got it. Okay. I got it. Yeah,
like I've let one rip,
right?
And then I've kind of, you know, moved my cart down the aisle a little bit, and well, first I waited to make sure it was a good one, you know.
So you're purposely knowing
I had to let one rip,
right?
And I couldn't hold it because how do you hold? You can't keep holding.
You can't always hold it. No, I mean it's. I mean. Yes, but like there's times where like I've been like I'm like oh my god I have like really bad gas and it's like and it smells and
but,
it's like...
so what I did so what I did, it's funny so now if you ever see me in the grocery store
yeah
so I let it rip and then I move down the aisle and I love to watch like who gets
offended or who gets a whiff
who gets charged with the guilty
being
guilty of that nasty fart because like I'm already like
right
I'm down the aisle
right
and
right
see,
right
like some lady or some old man's coming through
and then the heads start turning
and they're all looking at him
yeah because he's standing where you were
yeah
but there's always the danger of that like the timing on that because it's like you fart and it like it may come with you if you move too fast or whatever, you know? Like you gotta
Yeah, you can like you know, you can also like just like adjust your pants and let it air out.
Have a nice air pouch for it to escape into
and
the
then,
CVS.
And then I get a kick out of like watching everyone look around like who did that? You know, and then of course they you know, the kind of kook weirdest looking person gets blamed for it.
Like
really beautiful people don't fart.
I rarely see someone like audibly say something like, "Oh my god, was that you?" Like if you're in public, like you know.
Oh, I don't do it loud though.
No, it's a silent but deadly.
It.
right?
You can either disguise your fart.
A muffled fart or a silent but deadly.
Just let out a big cough or something.
Oh, a cough fart. Like, that move. Yeah.
And then people usually say, bless you, because they
bless you. Bless you. Your farts are horrible. Bless you. Yeah, there's definitely ways to disguise them, I would say. Yeah, but it's like, but even like at the store, like it's like if someone smells that, they're walking through the aisle, it's like, I don't know, like people just, they'll make faces, I'm guessing, and be like, oh, but like, I don't think someone would be like, did you do that, old man? Or like, you know, like point the finger.
No,
like,
just look at them really
right.
Mean, you know, with a nasty look.
Yeah, yeah. The
word, but really, it could have been anybody there, you know?
Right,
all
right.
I know is I'm gone now, and I'm just an observer. Yeah.
Cassie, my wife Cassie, she did a story where she talks about like farting purposefully, like on the airplane. Like, so someone won't sit next to her or whatever. Like, like letting
will she,
it.
Will she let them hear it, too?
I don't know. You have to ask her. I forget what she said. I don't know. I don't know if it's audible, but it's definitely like a silent but deadly kind of thing. Which, I guess if you're going to pull one of those, that probably is a good spot to do it if you don't want to sit next to someone.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's the worst, actually.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
On an airplane.
Oh, I've sat next to people who have farted on airplanes. Like, that's... God. And some people don't even have any. They don't care. Like I hold it in on an airplane, or I'll go to the restaurant.
Yeah, go to the restaurant.
But like, there's some people. Like I've sat next to people where like they're just coming out, and it's like, man, what did you eat? Like this is an airplane.
Then you got to like, you know, mess around with that.
The air filter thing. I mean, the airplane is kind of like when you sit on that airplane, you are kind of thinking to yourself like, there's like how many people on here? Like 200 people, whatever, you know. And it's like everyone is farting. At some point on this airplane, it's like we're all in this tin can in the air full of farts.
And if you can smell a fart in an airplane.
Oh, yeah. It's
that makes me think, like, how good are airplanes at filtering out this virus?
Oh, I don't think so.
Filter out a fart.
That's something I didn't understand because, like, I took an airplane during COVID or whatever. And, like, I was like, this is probably the last place I should be because. It is like everyone's like I don't know the air vents they have the special filters or whatever but I don't know man like yeah everything's just circulating.
Well, they
around.
Recycle the air. They said
they recycle it, but yeah, it's like I was actually thankful to wear a mask on the airplane because I was like, oh, if people are farting, I'm not gonna smell it, or like if the guy next to me has BO or something, you know, it's like I'm not gonna sit there and smell it the whole flight.
No, that's worse, and like BO is even worse
because that's just that's there the, that's yeah. there the whole time. A fart has a moment of time. As a moment of life, and that's it. Until the next one comes.
Yeah, BO is like permanent.
BO is permanent, yeah. Yeah, it's pretty gross, yeah. And and it's like, I don't understand how people don't, like, yeah, take better care of themselves when they're getting on a flight or whatever. If like take a shower, you know?
Yeah.
You're going to be sitting next to a bunch of strangers for 6 hours.
Are you okay with taking off your shoes?
I'm fine with that, as long as, like...
You have socks on.
I keep socks on. I actually wear like I've started doing like what is the easiest like foot like slipper kind of shoe that I can wear on an airplane?
You wear your UGG boots, Doug?
UGG boots, yes, absolutely. Yeah, UGG boots. No, I got these new shoes. They're called like Hey Dude or something like that. They're kind of like these moccasin like slipper things, and I'll wear those, and they like just slide right off, and that's comfortable on the airplane. But like yeah, like anytime like. Dress shoes, anything like that. I don't want to wear that shit on an airplane. Because my ankles swell up, too. Do your ankles ever swell up on an airplane? Like with the...
I don't have the ankle.
Yeah, I have a bad ankle to begin with. Yeah. But even like the pressure, like the altitude, like makes my ankles swell up a little bit.
I
have to untie...
My stomach gets bloated.
Like you gotta... Like I'll if I wear like regular sneakers, like I'll feel them getting tighter. Like as we like, you know, accelerate.
Yeah,
in the
I don't have that. But yeah. I definitely get...
Yeah.
I haven't been on a plane for...
What was the last trip you took? Right before the pandemic, is that what you did? You went somewhere?
I think I went to Florida.
Okay,
where my parents are
right,
now.
Right.
I didn't grow up there, and that was probably Thanksgiving. So wait, 2020 was the pandemic. So
because you're from the DC area,
yeah.
Right? Originally, yeah.
2019 Thanksgiving is probably my last flight.
Yeah. Last flight, yeah. And what's the first trip you want to take once?
I'm going in 2 weeks to see my parents.
Florida?
Yeah.
Oh, we're going the end of May to go to Florida. Yeah.
Yeah. So that'll be my first flight. And I'm not too worried about it now because all my friends like you have been flying during the pandemic already.
Well, yeah.
Never had a problem.
No, exactly. Yeah. I mean, but now everyone's vaccinated and you know, everyone's still being careful with the masks and everything.
Yeah. I mean,
Florida is like, oh man, it's like a whole different country almost down there. Like, no one's wearing masks.
Well, especially where my parents live.
Where do they live?
They're near Boca.
Boca, okay.
And Boca Raton.
Yeah.
And, yeah, it's always a whole different experience with my parents because they live in these, you know, retirement communities and and everything's gated, you know.
Everything's gated. That's how my parents live on a country club, like golf course.
It's kind of like
Naples.
That.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I always feel like I'm in, you know, jail, senior citizen jail.
Senior citizen jail, yeah. Yeah, I mean, you can't do much. I mean, it's like, I can stay there like 2 or 3 days, and then I'm like, I gotta get out of here.
I mean, I love seeing my parents.
Of course, yeah.
But, and now, you know, you can't, like, they do have a really great clubhouse.
Yeah.
And
do you play golf?
I don't.
No.
But my dad plays golf.
My dad plays golf, too.
My dad plays golf at, like, 6:30 in the morning.
Yeah, I'm not doing that. No.
I don't wake up that early.
No. I'll do the golf range with him, like, in the country club. Like, I'll go there and, like, shoot the, you know, drive the range balls out or whatever for, like, a half hour. I would play, you know, like, 5 holes. That's enough for me. You know, 18 holes is nuts, I think. That's a whole fucking day. It's
you
got to
play early there, too.
You got to play early. It gets too hot. Exactly, yeah. All right, well, farting in the CVS is one. What else? What other asshole moments do you have? I feel like you have a bunch because you were contemplating on which one to start with.
I know I've been an asshole.
Have you, what about when you were a kid? What kind of kid were you growing up?
I got picked on by the assholes.
Okay, so you had bullies coming up to you.
I got bullied.
Yeah.
That's why I'm so nervous all the time. Don't I look like I'm nervous all the time?
You're neurotic.
That's my running through line.
Right.
I don't know. Actually, you know, people say, like, sometimes when I do stand-up, they're like, you're so calm.
Well, you are very deadpan in your stand-up.
Yeah.
If anyone, I mean, I have a clip here. I don't know if you want to play it or not.
Whatever you want.
All right, let's play it. Let's play a clip of Scott Krinsky's stand-up, just so people can get a sense of his comedic stylings.
A lot of people don't know this about me, but I'm, it's not very obvious, but I am on the spectrum. I didn't even tell you what spectrum yet. I'm not on the autism spectrum. I'm not on the Comcast spectrum or whatever that. Now I'm on the gay spectrum. Like 90-10%, like some 90% gay, 10% straight. People don't really realize that about me, you know? Like my friends like to say, "God damn, Scott, you're like a stealth gay." You come in like that undercover gay, and then you drop a big gay bomb on us. Should be pretty obvious. Like, if you know my history, like, I played rugby, and I was on the swim team. Now, if you do one of those, it doesn't mean you're gay. But if you like to wear a Speedo and play rugby where you don't have any equipment on, you're grabbing guys' balls, it's a good chance. You know, if you guys got kids, you're probably going to turn out to be gay.
I love that spectrum joke. I remember you doing that at the live shows. It was always a good one.
Get back to those.
Yeah.
So I think I'm always nervous. I think my deadpan.
Right.
I think it partly comes out of being nervous.
Are you? I mean, yeah. Being an actor. I mean, I'm nervous too. Like even as an act. Like I was a shy kid. Like, but then I always wanted to act and like do comedy and stuff. And it kind of translates in a weird way. Like I was always more comfortable like on stage, behind a camera and behind a microphone, whatever. But like when I go out, like I'm kind of a shy introvert, extrovert kind of person.
Yeah. It's a weird thing because I acting. I love stand up. I love being on a stage, but because you're sort of when you're on stage or when you're acting, you know, you're sort of transported into another.
Yeah.
You know, if you're hopefully getting into, if you're lucky enough, and it's always like trying to get into that space,
right?
That.
Well, you're playing a character,
unconscious of, yeah, you know, everything else around you and being completely zoned in on whatever you're doing. Then you forget, you know.
Yeah, it's such an interesting like release almost, because it's like, you know, whether you're in a play playing a character, you're totally like in that character and you forget who you are for that hour and a half or whatever it is. Stand up, same thing. Like I think when my wife first saw me do stand up. And like, you know, she always knew I wanted to perform, and I've always been performing, you know, my whole life or whatever. But when she saw me do stand up for the first time, she was like, "Wow, you're like a totally different person, like when you're on stage, as opposed to like, you know, just being around, you know, in real life or whatever, you know." And yeah, it's interesting. It's an interesting dynamic. Like the shyness kind of goes away as soon as you step on stage or whatever.
But it is like, you know, there is. I think I'm always like, I don't want to be that like so sort of nervous all the time, mm-hmm, or whatever that energy is, you know, but it just, so now like I try, you know, I just try to be present.
And, yeah.
And, you know, I think that's the thing about performing, whether it's acting or stand up, I don't think you ever have it figured out. You know, if you're not always learning about yourself and evolving and what does it mean to be present and,
yeah,
but in the moment, you know.
Yeah,
it's an ongoing process.
And I think, like, even like with your stand up, it's like you are so deadpan, and you take your time with these, you know, these bits. And you know, the times I've watched you perform, I'm always like, oh, where's he gonna go? Like, where's you know? And it's so interesting because it's like,
it goes nowhere.
No. No, it goes somewhere. But like you take your time, and like it lets the audience think about what you're saying. And then when you hit them with the punchline, it's like, oh, all right, you know, as opposed to like, you know, some people's style is just like, you know, over the top, you know, yelling and all that kind of shit.
And then if they don't get the punchline, I'm just right. Like, well, you guys didn't get it.
Right,
that's
right.
My problem.
Well, because it's like, yeah, like you almost make them feel awkward, and it's funny then because it's like, it's so like, yeah. Do you do crowd work at all, like during your shows?
I mean, I don't look to do
crowd
work.
No, yeah, of course.
But, well, some people love
some people love it, and that's all they do. Yeah, yeah.
And I hate I don't like when I'm watching another comic and I see them doing crowd work, I get so nervous for them. But
yeah,
I feel like if you're the comedian, it always works in your favor. The person, you know, being a heckler always ends up looking like an idiot.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, it's like I did a lot of hosting for some shows, and that's kind of where I would do crowd work, if anything, because, you know, you're welcoming people to the show, you're commenting on who's sitting in the front, you're getting them loosed up for the show, and, yeah, and then sometimes, you know, it's like it's that first set as the host, it's always like, you know, it's always the hardest spot usually to go up at. So that's sometimes where crowd work, I think, for me at least, comes into a play being handy. So it's always interesting. When was the last stand-up show you did? Right before the pandemic? Is that?
Yeah, probably.
Are you going to start getting out there again?
I want to.
Things are opening.
I just got to get that mojo going again.
Yeah, it's weird. It's almost like starting over, it feels like, because I've gone up a couple times now. Like I went up at the Improv, the outdoor patio show. / open mic that they're doing over there, did like 3 or 4 minutes, and it was like the first time I went up, I was like, you know, it was weird. There's only like three real tables in the front that have like audience members, and the rest is comics.
So and it's hard like, enough when you you know, open mics are the hardest.
Oh yeah,
because you're just working out material in front of other comedians, mm-hmm, and no one's really listening because they're waiting
right
to go on.
Everyone's thinking of their own shit.
So then doing a show where, yeah, when there's not a lot of people, or you know that they're not really there listening to you, is even, yeah, it is. It's like starting over again.
It's weird. It's like, and like I've been writing some new stuff and everything, but then I would like just go back to the old stuff. Like, let me just remember how to do this. Like, let me just say these old jokes out loud, or like see what works and get used to it again.
Yeah, like I've seen my clip there, and I haven't done that
bit,
you know?
Right.
I mean, I'd have to.
And the other thing is like people, like a lot of people have like, you know, COVID material now or pandemic kind of stuff. And it's like, all right, like how much pandemic material we're going to have with all the comics coming out of this, you know, situation. And I get it. We've all been through it. But
yeah,
we got,
it's not over yet.
No, it's not over. But it's like
it is over depending on where you live.
Yeah, depending on where you live. Yeah. If you're vaccinated.
It's either over because you're dead.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, yeah. So, I mean, that's the interesting thing about it, because it's like, you know, I got to remember how to do these jokes in front of real people. And, you know, I don't know. It's going to be weird. It's like we're starting live shows. We're doing a show tomorrow at the Comedy Chateau in North Hollywood. We're going to be doing a weekly show there. So that'll be like the first, you know, re-entrance, I guess, to the live comedy show. So I don't know. It's going to be an interesting time. And getting audience out. Like, I don't know who's comfortable coming out to these shows.
Yeah, is everyone... it'll be outdoors, right?
It's outdoors, yeah. Yeah, for sure.
But then that's always like... I mean, I know comedy's... That's the way it's going to be for a while, is all outdoors and the honking the horn for laughs. And
yeah, the drive-in shows and yeah, yeah.
You know, it's... But that's where it just comes down to, like, do you enjoy performing and being on stage? And, you know, it's like it's almost like I'm just going to do my one person show here, my stand up. And if you like it, you like it. If you want to honk your horn,
right. Or
if I don't hear you laugh, I'll just keep going.
Yeah, exactly. We are speaking to actor Scott Krinsky from NBC's Chuck. If anyone has a question in Clubhouse, we have three people in here. If they want to raise their hand and jump on stage, feel free to do so. If not, that's cool too. I know we were just talking about being shy, like we are. So we get it. You may not want to jump on stage. It's all good. But if you do, do it. So when is the next? Are you auditioning a lot for projects? As you know, acting stuff. Has it been slow for you?
No, it's been. I did a film. Right when the pandemic started, mm-hmm. we just finished it. Like literally with 3 days after sort of a lockdown started. And so I'm excited to see how that turns out.
All right, that's good, yeah.
And then I am auditioning. I, you know, it's funny, I got an audition on the way here.
Oh, really? There you go.
So that's my night now, everyone.
Yeah, self-tape, right? I'm
going to go home and,
oh, man.
And learn lines.
Yeah, exactly. That's
make it,
good.
Make a self-tape.
All right, so another asshole moment. You got to have one more that you can give us.
Another asshole moment.
What about, like, dating or, I don't know, like, some situation you found yourself in that you may have been like, oh, man, I shouldn't have done that. Or I was mean to that person. Or, I don't know, anything along those lines.
I might have, like, you're at a date and they go to the bathroom and you, you know, look at their wallet or phone if they left it on the table.
So someone leaves their wallet, they go to the bathroom. You know? You go through their wallet? You've done that before? That's pretty funny.
Or tasted their food, like, you know.
Like, this is a first date?
Or any date. Or any friend, you know.
Any friend, yeah. They went to the bathroom, yeah.
And, like, I ate some of their food.
You ate some of their food,
stuff like that while they went.
Do you tell them when they come back out?
No.
No, you just
know. Yeah, I try to make it look like I didn't, you know.
It's like, what? Didn't I have a half of steak here? No. That was the size it was when it came. I didn't eat that much, did I?
I just moved the mashed potatoes a little bit.
So right. Oh, yeah, you just blended in.
Took a bite out of it.
What about going through someone's wallet? So that's interesting. So, like, because, like, I think, you know, if I went through someone's, like a purse or something like that, I don't know. I think that would be, like, if she found out, I don't know.
I'm just curious, you know, what people have in there.
Like, what credit cards they carry or...
yeah, just weird stuff, you know.
People's wallets are so skinny these days. I feel like
was this
back when people had pictures in their wallets?
I'll go through their medicine cabinet at their house.
Really? That's interesting. I think I've done that before.
See what pills are taken.
Yeah, yeah. Isn't that interesting? Like, I've thought of that. It's like, oh my, if you have like a party or some people over, yeah, it's like, and like, are you supposed to move your medicine to like a private, like, unless you have two bathrooms and you have like one in, the bedroom or something where you keep your pills, medicine, drugs, whatever.
I get through like their dresser and look, see, is there like a vibrator stuck under the underwear or something,
So Scott is a pervert when it comes out. Yeah. No.
No, I'm nosy.
Nosy. I'm curious.
And it's not, I don't want to judge them. I'm just,
So if you like open their drawer and there's like sex toys and a vibrator and like, some thongs or crotches.
No, I'd have more respect for them,
Yeah.
Like, okay, good for them.
But then every time you see them, you're like, oh yeah, like they got this vibrator thing.
Yeah, good for them.
Double-sided vibrator, whatever they're like. that's a nice little that's a nice little tidbit for you to have, Yeah. Like when you see them, it's like, yeah, I got one on you, That's pretty funny. And it's like you think about that. It's like we have people at our place all the time, and I'm always like, man, I should put some shit away. It's like, there's times I'll like leave like my wallet out on the fucking counter or like laugh. And it's like, it's like I know my friends, but it's just like, oh yeah, I should put some stuff away. You never know.
But I don't like.
You never know who's snooping around.
Never steal from anyone.
Like, No.
I'm more just kind of
you want to look like I'm through curious. Like right now you're looking in this room and you see all these cabinets and you want to know what's in there.
Like if you left this room right now, I'd probably
you'd go through everything.
Like, what's Doug got all these cabinets?
What is in there? Yeah. Yeah, I mean that is kind of fun. I mean, yeah, we are curious what other people have for sure, and it's like. It's like, or when you have people over, it's like, everyone's in the living room or the dining room, or the kitchen. It's like, there's rooms of the house, the apartment that are like off limits for guests.
Oh, like one time I cooked this meal and I remember I took it out of the oven and it all fell on the floor.
What was it? You had a bunch of guests over?
Yeah, I had a few friends over. And I didn't have time to cook it again. So I was like, well, it's hot. It's going to, all the heat from it is going to kill all the bacterial germs.
So you just replated it. Did you wash it off? Like,
no, you can't. No. It was already cooked.
It was already cooked.
Take all the spices. But luckily, my place is really clean.
It's really clean. Very clean, yeah.
Yeah, I'm pretty neurotic.
Yeah.
That's the thing. It's like I go out for these characters that are like crazy and disheveled, guys. And the thing is, I grew up in a, I'm Jewish. My mother, obsessive, crazy, Jewish mother, right? And so our house was spotless. Mm. And I am like that. Like I'm very neurotic.
Yeah, like you keep a clean house.
I keep a clean house. Yeah. I'm good hygiene, Right. Even though I don't, that's not, what people would think from characters that I've played.
Mm-hmm.
But, so it's just funny.
It's funny. Now, do you have any, like super fans? Have you gone to any of these, conventions where, people, Chuck convention or, TV convention? I don't know.
Well, I went to, Comic-Con.
Comic-Con, okay, yeah.
And some other cons over the years. I went to Europe once.
Okay.
I did this thing in Germany with somebody from Star Trek, and I met some people dressed in my Buy More uniform, wear
as your character,
kind of like you'd see the Geek Squad in Best Buy, what I wore, character, and that's always fun.
That's kind of cool, yeah. Have you had any crazy fan situation, like some weird people hitting you up, finding you, anything like that?
Well, I remember when I first started the show, I wasn't, I had never, this was the biggest thing for me in the beginning, and I remember I wasn't used to being recognized.
Mm-hmm.
So I remember I'd go to the bank or something and I'd see someone staring at me. I was like, and I get really flattered, thinking, oh man, I'm getting checked out.
Yeah.
And then I started realizing, oh no, they just know me from the
show. They know you from the
show,
Chuck.
I'm hot or anything. Yeah.
That's got to be an interesting thing to slow, especially when that show was on and started becoming a big hit. It's people slowly start acknowledging, recognizing you on the street, all that stuff. It's like I had someone today, messaged me like, "Oh my God, Scott Krinsky's gonna be on the show. Like, tell him I said hello." I'm like, "Okay, yeah, I will." It's like, so they say hello.
Hey.
Yeah.
But you know, it's still interesting what streaming and everything is. People find. I mean, I'm catching up on old shows that I never saw.
Right.
And people are finding.
Yeah.
Chuck for
a new life for Chuck. Yeah.
And nobody, you know, younger kids, whatever age that is, you know, teenagers, people in their 20s, early 20s, I don't know. Nobody, they don't think about necessarily when this show is made.
Right.
You have to think. They're home browsing their Netflix or browsing Hulu or Amazon.
Yeah, and it pops up.
Find a show that sounds interesting to them.
Mm-hmm.
They're not really thinking about, oh, is this new? Is this old? They just know that they haven't seen it.
They haven't seen it.
So sometimes people message me as if we're still filming.
Right.
They have no idea.
They have no idea.
That show ended in 2012.
Right. Unless they, like, if they pull out their iPad and do some research. Yeah.
So that's what's kind of cool about streaming. Like, think about all the people that are, you hear that are, like, watching The Office for the first time, you know?
Or, yeah. That's been the interesting thing about the pandemic. It's like, yeah, I've known people that are, like, you know, watching The Sopranos for the first time, like The Office, you know, like all
Seinfeld,
you know, all these old shows, and they're like, I've never seen it. And like, I'm guilty of that too, because it's like, there's so many shows and material now to watch. It's like, yeah, it's like, now's a good time to catch up on it if you have nothing else to do or whatever, you know? So, I mean, yeah, a new life for Chuck and for all these kind of shows. Yeah.
I remember someone, like, I was in Boston once, and somebody like came up to me and was like asked me if I wanted to do like, forget, it was like smoke some weed and something else, like would do that, but it was something else, and he was like, I don't know, it was just
some other drug.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, I'm just gonna walk with you to Europe.
Yeah
right now
sounds safe. Yeah,
like, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, you got to be careful. You never know. Like, there's it's like, I've had some people message me, like, on Instagram, just from this podcast. Like, I don't know them. And it's like, you know, there's been some weird messages that have come in. And I'm like, oh, that's all right. You know, especially with Instagram now. It's like, you know, anyone could just message you and hit you up for whatever. So it's like, it is a weird time where people can directly talk to you, you know, being a fan or whatever, where back in the day, that wasn't a thing. So
yeah, it's nice. I mean, it's nice, too. Sometimes,
yeah, it is nice.
Depending on what day you get me, you know,
if
I'm going to bed and
I
fall asleep, I'll answer people.
Right. Yeah, exactly. I mean, yeah, living next to you for 8 years, I mean, you were always in a good mood. I know that.
In the morning when fans here, five in the afternoon in Senegal.
Right, exactly. Well, Scott, you really put yourself out there today on The Asshole Show. We learned a lot about you. We learned that... you may fart in a CVS and disguise it, walk away and disguise it so someone else gets blamed for it, and then secretly enjoy that result from far away. So if you see Scott in a CVS and recognize him from Chuck,
smell a fart.
Yeah, don't approach him, or maybe wait a minute and then approach him for a selfie or whatever. So beware. We're warning you now. We're giving out secrets of Scott Krinsky today. We also learned that you may go through someone's wallet or purse if you go out to dinner with them. If you have Scott over to your home for a gathering, be sure to put your pills and the medicines in a drawer locked somewhere, because Scott may be curious.
Wait, Doug, am I an asshole?
No. You're curious. You want to know what's behind that closet, like we all do. I get it. And then we also learned that if Scott invites you over for dinner, you may be eating food that was on the floor at one point, because, you know, he's got butterfingers over here. Yeah, but no, Scott is not an asshole, but he was at certain moments, I would say. So the way we end the show is by stating your name and saying that you're an asshole. So, Scott, the floor is yours.
I'm Scott Krinsky, and I'm an asshole.
There you go, folks. Scott Krinsky, and he's an asshole, but he came on the show today, and he redeemed himself, so he can go in peace. Scott, thank you for coming on to I'm an Asshole. I appreciate you coming into the studio and doing this. Make sure you check out Scott on his Instagram at Scott_Krinsky. Make sure you watch Chuck. It's streaming everywhere now. What, Netflix, Amazon? I don't know where it is. It's on one of the services that you pay for, and we know you all you have them all. So just look for Chuck. Check out the movie Tangerine. It's a great film. What else have you been? You've been in a bunch of stuff. The OC. Weren't you in the OC? Yeah.
Dave Made a Maze is a really great film.
Yeah. So check out Scott
good indie films,
yeah. And look at Scott's stand up on YouTube. He's got some clips up there, and he's going to be performing again at some point. What else, Scott? You want to talk about anything else? You want to plug anything else?
I'm going to be performing soon.
Yeah.
Check out my you'll see it on my Instagram, Facebook, yeah, wherever I'm. I'll be out there soon. I'll be happy to see you, and
he will be performing at a comedy venue
near you
very soon. All right. Well, Scott, thanks again for coming in. It's good seeing you as always. Guys, don't forget to follow us on social media at A-Hole Podcast and subscribe to the podcast. If you like the show, tell two friends. All right. We're trying to get the numbers up, so I appreciate that. And check out the full videos on YouTube at Doug Bass Comedy or at A-Hole Podcast. And remember, folks, don't be an a-hole, but if you are, laugh about it. Bye.
You've been listening to I'm an Asshole with Doug Bass. Please subscribe to us on all streaming platforms. Follow Doug on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook at Doug Bass Comedy. Thank you for listening, and remember, don't be an asshole, but if you are, talk about it. Have a good asshole story? Email us at Doug@DougBassComedy.com. We'll see you next time.